Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jason Alder from AB Motorsports, and you're listening to the Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello, welcome to the 70-Thursday Night Thunder, episode 62 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program, Mike Mullally and myself will once again be chatting about the world of modern motorsports. This show marks the last of this year. Our first guest tonight is Mark Yano, the owner and driver of Circuit Racing, a seasoned veteran and entrepreneur dedicated to bettering the lives of his fellow veterans. Yano joined the United States Marine Corps Reserve in 1986 and served 5 years prior to being called up for active duty during Desert Storm in 1991. Yano's dedication to excellence was apparent as a Marine, and upon leaving the service, continued with his entrepreneurial work. Following active duty, Yano completed his undergraduate degree in criminology at Florida State University and began working in investment banking. He joined Sterling Financial Investment Group as a partner and founding officer, growing the company from 3 employees to more than 600 across all 50 states and 7 international offices. In 2003, Yano left Sterling to pursue a new venture that would bring him closer to his military family and community, named Source One Distributors, Incorporated. Yano's new venture provides equipment, products, and support services to the defense industry. In 2012, Yano married his success with Source One and his passion for racing by creating Circuit to raise awareness and direct financial support for veterans and their families. He currently resides in Wellington, Florida, with his family. And we are now pleased to welcome him to the program.
Hello, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Happy holidays.
Same to you. Thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you for inviting me.
We know that you're the founder and driver for Circuit Racing and coming off a successful IMSA Porsche GT3 Cup USA Challenge by Yokohama season. Can you tell us a little bit about what you learned from your third season of Porsche Racing and how it will help you compete for the Porsche GT3 Gold Cup in 2016?
Right, so the last few years with Circuit Racing has been quite the experience, to say the least. We've had a great year. Finished the season in second place this year, and I've been really learning a lot from the pro drivers that are coaching us throughout the year, and really kind of just putting a lot of practice time in on the track. So it's been an incredible last 3 years.
Which hat is harder for you to wear, the driver's helmet or the hat of the owner of the team?
You know, that's a great question. I would say it's much harder on the driver's side because of the attention to detail during that 45 minutes when you're on the track and you have to block out everything else. Being an owner of a team is a different story because you're worrying about sponsors and you're looking at things from a different level. But I'd say being a driver, you're much more focused, and that's where the stress comes in.
Are you in the series you want to be for the long term, or do you have different aspirations for the future?
You know, we've been very pleased with the Porsche series with IMSA. I think eventually where we'll be looking is the new series, you know, which was Tudor, which is now being called the WeatherTech series. So I think as we move up here in 2017, we'll probably look at the WeatherTech series and approach the 24 hours of Daytona and the 12 hours of Sebring.
Yeah, I know a lot of the GT3 teams are doing that this season since they integrated the GT3 into the series a little bit more. Should be quite the year for your IMSA.
Well, it's going to get very interesting, especially with the new model cars coming out, and you've probably seen that Ferrari's also come out now with their new 488 that's going to be running, and you'll be able to see that in Daytona here coming up at the end of January. So it's going to get it's going to be pretty amazing.
You're a veteran, and your team Circuit Racing is much more than racing, devoted to racing awareness and direct support for veterans and their families. Tell us what your team has been up to in order to change the lives of veterans nationwide.
So circuit racing is just that. It's a platform. We don't profit from the car. The car is really, it's the American car. It's your car as well. Its primary mission is to create awareness and support for the veterans, the families, and the warfighters. And over the last 3 years, we've had different platforms that have been involved. We've had our first year in. We had Wells Fargo who came on board. And we were able to push through three $300,000 homes, mortgage-free homes, to three different service-disabled veterans. And in 2014, with one of our sponsors, Kaplan University, we were able to push out $4 million in college scholarships to the wives and children of veterans. And we also had Boot Campaign on board in 2014, where we had a high-speed experience bringing veterans out called Faces of Our Freedom, and really kind of get them to see the camaraderie, the teamwork, and the adrenaline, which is something they would have experienced in military service. And last year, 2015, as we finished the season, we were able to push around $6 million in college scholarships with Kaplan. So we really increased and set the bar high in 2015. So the car is, it's just that. It's the car for the military. And as we work with our sponsors, it really gives them a great opportunity to give back to the program. And we do that through circuit racing.
Where did your desire for racing come from?
You know, it's quite a funny story. About 3.5 years ago, we went to the 24 Hours of Daytona, and Lori and I are standing up against the fence, and we're watching all the cars at the roar right as the race started. And one of the things I noticed right away is that there wasn't one car dedicated, 100% dedicated to the military. We saw the flybys go by and obviously the sound of the jets, not just inspiring. So we ended up walking into the Porsche hospitality tent, and I had asked for who was the highest-ranking person there that day. And I asked him, you know, what does it take to drive a race car here? And when I told him I wanted to buy one of the race cars and learn to drive, it was kind of like the movie Taken. He says, you know, good luck, it's not going to happen. So within about 2 or 3 weeks, we're on the phone with the CEO of Porsche North America, Jens Walter. And we talked to him. He invited us to come out to Sebring. We sat down. We met with them. We had a great meeting, talked about our program. I was extremely impressed how much Porsche knew about, you know, who we are at circuit racing, what our mission was. And I told him I'd like to buy a race car and learn how to drive it. And here's our platform and why we're doing what we're doing. And about 10 days later, they called back and they sold me one of their cars. And they sell about 40 race cars a year in America. And the funny part was once I told him, I said, we're in, and he sold me the car. I said, now here's the caveat. I never drove a race car a day in my life, nor have I ever karted. So they were kind of like a deer in headlights at that point, but they paired me up with NGT Motorsports out of Miami. And when I tell you I practiced, we were practicing pretty much every weekend over here at Sebring and putting a lot of time and hours in, and became one of the fastest engine rebuilds by Porsche, just hitting the track and getting as much seat time as possible. So that put us in our first year of racing ever. We took eighth place and then fourth place our second year and second place this season.
I know you're a Wellington resident. You mentioned that in your press release. How much racing have you done at Palm Beach International Raceway, if at all?
You know, we've been out there probably 3 or 4 times. It's not a track that we race. You know, we race the much bigger tracks, you know, like Laguna Seca and COTA and Watkins Glen, Road America, and a few other ones. And Sebring, obviously, is our home track. That's a great little track, I think, for some good club racing events. We did have an event this year where we used that track for a big veteran day, and we bought had a bunch of veterans come out and gave them high-speed experience, which is pretty awesome.
We know that you were recently selected to the board of directors for the national organization, the Boot Campaign. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why you wanted to become more involved?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've been watching Boot Campaign over the last 2 or 3 years, and when we met Boot Campaign at Circuit of Americas in Austin, Texas, we originally met them through Governor Perry at that time, and he had told us about the Boot Campaign, so we watched it, we looked at them. And then after really kind of understanding their mission, and we've worked with a lot of nonprofits and worked with a few that are pretty amazing. But what we learned about Boot Campaign is that they are truly giving back and, you know, promoting patriotism, raising awareness, and providing assistance to the military families, you know, past, present, and future. So they really are an amazing organization. The more we start learning about them, and they're really making some big changes in the nonprofit side for the positive.
And what are your goals for 2016 in the IMSA GT3 Gold Cup?
Well, I think the big goal is to bring home the big championship this year and take the trophy home and get first place. So that's the plan this year, is to take the championship. And we're going to practice pretty hard. We got practice season getting ready to start here after the holidays. So we'll be getting a lot of seat time. And we're going to finish this year out strong, and we're going to make some big contributions this year for the veterans and the families. So we're pretty excited.
Well, we wish you lots of luck next season, and hope you have a very happy holiday season.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for having me, and happy holidays to you and your listeners. Take care.
You too. Thank you. Once again, that was Mark Iano of Circuit Racing. It's going to be just a few minutes until our next guest is on the line. So for right now, please listen to this song from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
Right. Hi, this is Jason Vines, author of What Did Jesus Drive? And you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Our next guest this evening is Jason Alder. Alder just completed a 7-year run in the World Karting Association, where he won 2 national championships, 3 regional championships, and 2 local championships. 2016 will mark the beginning of a new era for Alder, who will no longer be racing at go-karts, but will be competing at a Bandolero and transitioning into a legend by the end of the 2016 season. Jason is currently participating in the U.S. Legends Cars and the INAX Winter Heat Series, which started this past weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway and will be picking up again in January. The 12-year-old truly represents the future of modern motor racing, and we are pleased to have him back on the program again this evening. Hello, Jason. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. What was your season like this year?
We had a great year this year. I moved up from sportsman ranks up to the junior ranks in the WKA Gold Cup Series. I moved up a year early and was the youngest driver in the series. I raced in 59 races, won 18 features and 13 poles. Nationally, I raced in 26 races and won more features than any other driver with 8 feature wins and 6 poles. I kept off my season with the Junior Pro Gas Light National Championship with 4 wins and 2 seconds out of 8 races. I also raced my Bandolero about 10 times. I won my first pole at Shenandoah Speedway and won my first Bando feature this year as well. I'm hoping to build on my 2015 success and have a great 2016 season, which actually started last weekend at Charlotte Motor Speedway with INX Winter Heat Series, which I won the pole and also won the feature race. I would end up finishing the feature in 3rd after I spun out and had to start last.
What was your favorite event to compete in this year?
My all-time favorite was Bowman Gray Stadium in the Bandolero. It's a lot of fun because there's 20,000 people in the grandstands, and for the Bandolero and Legend classes, there's only 1 race per year. I also really like the Winter Heat at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I really like it because it's really cool to be out on the track and be at the track with really big names in racing like Quapple and Green and Joy.
Can you tell us a little bit more about your partnership with Champion Auto Parts that you had this past year?
Yes, I would love to talk about my sponsors and Champion. I'm sponsored by Champion Sparkplugs and Fortinet, who is the manufacturer of the world's fastest firewall and other network and computer security products, Hat Automotive in Baltimore, Maryland, Boca Bearing Company, who makes ceramic bearings out of Boynton Beach, Florida, and 2020 Technology, a value-added computer and networking company located in Reston, Virginia. I also want to mention that our race team, AB Motorsports, supports all our favorite charity, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. 10% of all of our sponsorship money is donated to JDRF in honor of my sister, who was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at the age of 2 over 14 years ago. Champion makes a big investment into new and upcoming talent. The background of this is that over the past 5 years, Champion has held a contest where they scout for the best up-and-coming racing talent in any sport with an engine to help kickstart their careers. Champion has financially supported a number of drivers across a number of racing disciplines as they progress in their careers. The contest runs from January to March, where they award drivers with cash sponsorships. I entered this contest in 2014 and again in 2015. I won an honorable mention in 2014, and earlier this year, I was one of the 15 finalists and was offered a spot on Team Champion alongside Bobby Pierce, Chris Buescher, Darryl Wallace, and Sprint Cup guys like Trevor Bayne, Ricky Stenhouse. I'm totally honored to be on Team Champion for exposure this has given me. I love Federal Mogul products, and there's no question that their spark plugs have helped me win my 2 national championships. Adam, is it okay if I make a plug for the Search for a Champion contest? If you are a driver and want to learn more, go to championsparkplugs.com and click on the promotions link at the top of the page and then click Search for a Champion. On this page, you can create an entry into the 2016 Search for a Champion contest. This champion contest has 2 tiers to enter, advanced and amateur. Advanced entries could win 15 $5,000 sponsorships. Amateur entries could win 25 $1,000 sponsorships. And all advanced finalists have a chance to win an additional $50,000. All amateur finalists will have a chance to win an additional $10,000 sponsorships. That is $200,000 in total sponsorships that Champion is giving away at the end of the conclusion of a contest in March or April.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Well, honestly, I'd love to be racing in the Xfinity or Sprint Cup series in 10 years. That's my ultimate goal. I'll even go farther and say I want to race for Hendrick Motorsports. Maybe take over the 48 car since the 24 is driven by Chase Elliott. I have a number of intermediate goals to get me there. I just finished racing go-karts, which I did for the past 6 years. I won 2 WKA Gold Cup Series National Championships. This year I'm racing a Bandolera on the INX Win Heat Series at Shelton Motor Speedway and will race at both Shenandoah Speedway and the new Dominion Speedway just outside of Richmond, VA. Next year, I am planning to move out of my Bandolero and into a Legend and race that for a couple years before moving into a late model. From there, it will depend on sponsorships and my ability to drive, compete, and win.
What, in your assessment, is the health of auto racing overall?
This is a good question, and as a driver, I try not to think much about that. I want to stay focused on my driving and working with my team and gain experience. However, I see that Daytona and Charlotte Motor Speedway and maybe other tracks are removing seats from the tracks. I am not sure why they are doing this, but I see a lot of empty seats at several tracks when I watch the races on TV. I would think that it'd be better to reduce ticket prices rather than reducing the number of seats. But I am not a promoter, and I am sure that there is a lot more I can understand to making those kinds of decisions. At the local level, a new track is opening up in 2016, Dominion Speedway, just outside of Richmond, Virginia. I've seen pictures and heard that they are expecting some large local events, and I'm looking forward to racing there this season and becoming a part of growth and racing at this track.
Are you excited about the new robotic racing series debuting in the FIA Formula E series next season, and how do you think it will affect auto racing in the future?
I just heard about this recently, and at first I was wondering what it was all about. It's almost what the point if there is no driver, but computers running complicated algorithms making driving decisions. It seems to me that this sport is more of an engineering exercise to promote and push the development of electric cars and self-driving car technology. I don't see this replacing our current racing series at all. I know electric cars are getting a lot of attention these days, and they are making new developments every day with longer running batteries and reducing battery charging times. I'm curious to know if NASCAR has considered what impact electric cars will have in our world and how it will influence our NASCAR racing series. Will there be an Energizer series of electric-powered stock car racing series? It's fun to think about, and at some point NASCAR, I expect, will need to make a decision about including electric series or not. If not, someone else may, and when they do, the electronic fuel-injected car races we see today may look old and archaic. Out of curiosity, Adam and Michael, what are your thoughts on the robotic racing? Do you feel the same or different?
I agree in part that the robotic series is a little bit of an engineering exercise, and it's also a way to improve on self-driving technology. But I think that it might just be the future of auto racing, because if self-driving cars take off the way they're anticipated to, possibly not in my lifetime, but definitely in yours, it'll be a totally different world in another 50 years in auto racing, and it'll be interesting to see what it looks like.
All right.
Yeah, Michael is busy this evening and will be calling in at some time in the future, but I'm not exactly sure what time. But she wanted me to say thank you very much for being on the show, and we hope to talk to you again next season, and have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks, Adam, for having me back on the show, and I look forward to visiting you again in the Thunderdome. I love your show and wish you all the very best, and have a Merry Christmas.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
As I stated, Michael Mullally is a little bit busy this evening running around to take care of pre-Christmas issues, and I totally understand that. There's a lot of stuff that has to be done this week in preparation for the holiday, and out in her neck of the woods it's a little chilly, and there's a little bit of snow, I've seen on the news anyway, and they had a lot of rain this past week, so I'm pretty sure she's got a lot of stuff going on, and as I stated, hopefully she will be calling in shortly. While we're standing by for our next driver to call in, here's another song from Ron Pestana and the Pit Crew.
Going three wide makes no sense. Did you wake up? question. Is your back a little sore? Is your crew chief pissed? Because you said you'd take it easy. And now you're dead last because you went on in a prison. Swear it to the official. Have a good skin. Throw your damn helmet. Leave it in the pit. That's a fact. That you're last when you cry.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Once again, we're back on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. I'm Adam Sinclair, your host for Thursday Night Thunder. Our next guest tonight is Mark Drennan, who was on the program a few weeks back. A couple weeks ago now, he was competing in the 25 Hours of Thunder Hill, which was held in California, and he'll be talking a little bit about that this evening. This past week, I've done a lot of articles for SpeedwayDigest.com. You've probably noticed that the site has not been updated quite as much over the past almost month now, since the end of the NASCAR season, but the news has gotten a little bit slow in the racing world, as a lot of the racing series have wrapped up. I recently did an article about the Speed Truck Series, the one that's run by Robbie Gordon, the off-road trucks. You can check that out, the Speed Super Trucks. Check that out at SpeedwayDigest.com, the racing news section. They just held their last race of the season last, I think it's like two weekends ago now, in Australia. They held a three-race event there. It was pretty awesome from what I read. So it's always a pretty cool time to see those trucks zoom around, and I'm looking forward to seeing them in St. Petersburg next year. Now, if you think about it, Christmas is next week. New Year's is the following week. And the week after that is the Roar Before the Rolex 24, which is the warm-up for the Rolex 24 at Daytona, which was alluded to by our previous guest, Mark Yano of Circuit Racing. The Roar Before the 24 is a very amazing thing to attend. It's it gets you full access to the pits and to the to see the cars on the track. A lot of it is run at race speed under race conditions or conditions as similar to the races they can get. The weather is generally a little chilly there for the Roar Before the 24. But for this year, the fact that it was 87 degrees today on the 17th of December, I'm not quite sure if it's going to be that chilly up there in a couple of weeks or not. It'll be different. And I'm sure that there's a lot of drivers who are hoping it's a little bit cooler, because it gets awful hot in those machines. There are no air conditioners. There's no windows to roll down. And most of them are fully closed cockpit cars, so it just gets awful hot. And on the cooler days, I'm sure they're ecstatic that it's cool. The past few years, it's been rather chilly there for the event, but it's not been unseasonably cold. There was a for the Roar Before the 24 a couple of years back, they did have snow. They had the snowmen they built in the garage area. Little teeny tiny snowmen, but still count. So that was definitely something interesting. But I'm looking forward to a great season next year. So far, on my racing calendar, my personal racing calendar, I'm going to be attending the, as I stated, the Roar Before the Rolex 24 in the January 9th, because when I'm up there, that's a Saturday. I might be up there the Sunday. I'm not exactly sure of the schedule yet. And a few weeks later, I'll be attending the Rolex 24 at Daytona, which is held at the end of January. That will be the round-the-clock race. It has all different sorts of classes of cars competing there. They've got the GTs, the new GT3 will be competing there. They have a Ford GT, which is going to be making their debut there at the race this year, and personally I think it's one of the favorites for the event. Not necessarily for the overall, but definitely for the GT class. They also have the prototypes. This will be the last year for the Daytona prototypes, as next season they're going to an entirely new formula for the cars, which will be something to see. I'm sure that over the next few months there'll be some releases about the next season's cars for 2017. There's also already been a lot of releases about the 2016 cars. I just posted a release the other day, in fact, about the Mazda racing team for the Mazda Motorsports, their prototype team. They're going to be keeping basically the same team for the entire year that they had for last season. They're going to be announcing a few different drivers for the Rolex 24 at Daytona within the next few days, and I will be posting that at SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section at the bottom of the page. One of the returning drivers, of course, is Tristan Nunez, who's a good friend of the program and a pretty awesome guy all around. He's hopefully this year, when they do the new engine package, which they have not released the name of yet. They're supposed to do that the Roar Before the 24 as well, and I'll be covering that and, of course, reporting it for SpeedwayDigest.com as well as this program, Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. It'll be interesting to see how the car runs with a gas-powered engine. Mazda has a long history of running gas-powered engines. They've actually had a win in using their gas-powered engine in the past. And with that, they're going to be changing one of their numbers to the winning car number that they had several years ago. They'll also be running the gas power will be totally different than the diesel power. If I have a totally different sound to it, I know that when I was at the Ford Championship weekend for the Ford EcoBoost 400 and they had the Ford GT go around, it was incredibly loud for a GT car. And that's kind of surprising to me, because in the past they've run mufflers and that sort of thing for the machines, and now it appears that they've gone away from that, at least a little bit for that car. And it's pretty impressive to hear. Rumbles you right out of your seat. And at the Daytona International Speedway with the Daytona Rising Project now nearing, very close nearing completion, it'll be quite the thing to feel the car rumble from the top of the grandstands where you can see the entire race course. I'm sure that I'm going to end up making at least one trip up to the top of the grandstands for the event. And I'm going to get quite a few good pictures and post them on SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section, as well as probably on the Speedway Digest Facebook page, and probably, of course, on the Thursday Night Thunder Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. One word. Also, we're going to be, in the past, we've run a contest for autographed pictures for Leanne Powell, the former Miss Nitrogram. she was kind enough to donate a few pictures for the fans of the Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. If you're interested in obtaining one of those, please go to the Facebook page, facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder, or simply search for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. Leave a comment as to your favorite part of the program, and we will choose a winner for the Miss Nitro Jam autographed pictures. We'll actually probably choose like two or three winners. So good luck for that. That contest will be ongoing. It'll go on until the supply of Miss Nitro Jam pictures is gone, probably at least for the next few weeks. So good luck, and hopefully your winner effect. As I stated at the beginning of the program, this is our last show for the year. We'll be returning in January. The exact date is January 7th. We'll be returning to the air again to bring you the latest in motorsports news, personalities, and events. We currently do not have anyone scheduled for January 7th, but we're always open to suggestions, so please contact us at facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder if you're interested in talking to me here on the program. You can also contact me at speedwaydigest.com in the racing news section by clicking on my name, Adam Sinclair. There'll be a little contact box that pops up there that has my bio information, has all my email address and that sort of stuff down there. So if you're interested, please take advantage of that. This program is dedicated and has been dedicated since the beginning to providing a forum for young drivers as well as established drivers to give you, the racing fan, a glimpse into how the world of motorsports truly operates. And I hope we've done a good job over the past 62 episodes. We've definitely tried. We have had some technical difficulties here and there. Hopefully all of them are working okay tonight. But you never know. So hopefully all of our little gremlins are out of the way. I know the Gremlins is, of course, one of the greatest holiday movies ever put out. That right next to Die Hard is one of my favorite Christmas films. Kind of getting off the subject, but that happens now and again. As I stated a few moments ago, our next guest is Mark Drennan, who's coming back to the Thunderdome for his second visit. Drennan is a self-taught racer who's taken the typical modern-day route to becoming an amateur champion, starting with a racing simulator, then moving to karting, and finally to sports cars. Like many young racers nowadays, Drennan started racing on his computer, where he first learned the skill of threshold everything, the art of nailing the perfect qualifying lap, and the craft needed to win races. Drennan spent 6 years of racing people around the world on Grand Prix Legends, which were developed by David Kamer, the co-founder of iRacing. He joined iRacing shortly after its launch in 2008, where he qualified and competed in their inaugural Road Racing Pro Series, the top 250 in the world, securing a spot in their inaugural Drivers' World Championship, where he was in the top 50 in the world. He has spent the past decade pursuing his racing dream, competing in the Jim Russell Karting Series, the Sports Car Club of America, Spec Miata, and the NASA. Now, he is ready to take his natural next step, the pursuit of championships at a professional level. He was in the winning team for the 25 Hours of Thunderhill, and we'll be asking him about that momentarily. He mentioned in his introduction that he was part of the inaugural Drivers' World Championship. I did an article about that the other day, featuring information about Sam Schmidt, the IndyCar team owner, who lost all feeling below his neck in a testing accident in the year 2000. This past year, he's been doing some testing in the driver-assisted car, and the iRacing Drivers' World Championship will be his first race behind the wheel. It will be in a racing simulator, of course, and I think he has a pretty good shot of winning the thing. He's always been a very good driver. He's just had some really tough luck, and his whole team's had some pretty tough luck as well. Sam Smart Motorsports is a great team. As I stated, they've got a good history. They have awesome drivers for the team. They have great technology. And as I stated, of course, I'm looking forward to the race in St. Petersburg, not only for the Super Trucks, but also for the IndyCars. The IndyCar race is returning to the streets of St. Petersburg once again this year. Even though there was some question, a little bit of question after the event last year, where they did have the unfortunate incident where a piece of debris went out of the race course and hit a woman in the little merchandise and the concession area. I'm pretty sure they're going to be making some adjustments to the fence line. Hopefully that doesn't obscure the sight lines of the track, because St. Petersburg definitely has some issues when you're a spectator there at the facility. The only really good place to see the race from is the grandstands there at where the cars basically come straight towards you. But that doesn't give you a full perspective on the entire track. You basically end up watching the big TV screen. And as I've said before on this program several times, I can't really understand how people pay for race admission and end up watching television, the whole thing. That is one of my pet peeves about the media centers, in fact, for these racing events. There's a lot of people just sort of sit in the media center and watch the race basically on television on computer monitors. You can just easily do that from home. It doesn't really give you any much additional inputs when you're sitting up there in the media center. But that's a personal thing. I know there's a lot of people who do their coverage exclusively from media centers, but there are a lot of people as well who go out and watch the race from different perspectives. I noticed that this year at both at Daytona as well as at the Homestead Miami Speedway. It was really bad in Daytona, but the Daytona thing was the weather, and Homestead wasn't much better with the weather, but those things happen. That's the main difference between NASCAR and stock cars and sports car racing, because in sports car racing, most of the time, as well as in IndyCar, they race in the rain. We've talked about that briefly on this program in the past as well. There are some issues, of course, with the fact that on the oval races, even with IndyCars, and especially with NASCAR, they can't really use a rain tire, but there's no reason they couldn't use a rain tire in NASCAR on the road courses. There have been some good research in the past few years about using rain tires on road courses, and hopefully they'll turn to that sometime in the future. That would be a pretty cool race to see if they end up having a race in the wet in NASCAR. That's also one of the things I really hate about Daytona for the 24-hour race sometimes. When it rains there, it rains a lot, and sometimes it's a really cold rain. It's just not a very comfy thing to be hanging out in. But that's why you bring a poncho, where you find a good spot to hang out of the weather. You go explore the manufacturer's midway things and that sort of stuff, and you have a good time. And that's what attending motorsports events is. It's all about having a good time. That's why you should go to the racetrack. You shouldn't just sit around your house and watch it on television. It's a totally different experience being at the track than it is being at the being sitting behind the computer screen or sitting in front of the TV. There's a lot more to do, a lot more to see, even in the in races like the NASCAR races, where all you have is just the couple hours of racing. And especially in races like the IndyCar races or the 24 hours of Daytona, we've got a full day of racing and things are going on the track the whole time. Things are going on off the track at the same time. It's just quite the thing. Sebring later in the year is also in March or whatever, is also quite the thing to see with the party atmosphere that's there. There's a lot of people who attend the Sebring race who seem that they're perpetual 20-year-olds, even though a lot of them are approaching 70 now, and that definitely gives it a totally different feel, and it's something that you should try if you haven't yet, to try and hang out for that sort of event. The 12 Hours Sebring is at least something you should try once, if not several times. There's all sorts of places you can see the action from. That's more for walking around track. There's not really a lot of grandstands there. So you sort of bounce from berm to berm. You bring your own chairs, and it's kind of fun. We're still standing by for Mark Drennan to come on the program this evening. Hopefully he remembered that this is Eastern time and not Pacific time. And he's supposed to be on the air right now. But we shall see. I know in the past we've had issues with some people getting their time zones a little bit off. And that happens all the time, especially with this sort of program. A couple of weeks ago, I had a guy scheduled to be on the program from Australia, and there's a one-day difference between here and Australia, but at least when the show starts here at 8 p.m., it starts there at noon the next day, so that makes it not really too bad. I am planning on trying to reach out to a couple of Australian drivers, but now knowing that is the primary time difference, and see if we can expand the listener's base here a little bit to the land down under. One of my favorite shows on television now is one that I found my favorite racing shows. It's called Blendline TV, which covers racing in Sydney, Australia, and in other racing venues in Australia. It basically covers the sportsman racing for sports cars. They're a couple-year-old cars. Some of them are in the V8 supercars. Some of them are former V8 supercars. Some of them are just like piddling around in their sedans. And it's a bunch of different classes involved. It's sort of like a sportsman version of IMSA, I suppose, is what you look at. Now, it's not quite the historic racing, and it's not quite the Trans Am type thing, but it's a good combination. If you can find it on your local channel, I'd recommend on your local TV guide, whatever, I'd recommend looking it up. The name of the show again is Blendline TV. It covers Australian motorsports. So I'd advise you to check that out. Well, we're standing by for Mark Drennan to call in. Let's take a listen to another song from the Pit Crew.
Hey, everybody. This is Tristan Nunez, driver of the 7-0 Skyactiv Mazda prototype, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Once again, we'd like to welcome you back to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and I'm happy to have you on the program listening to me this evening and spending your Thursday night with us. As we stated in the past, if you're interested, you can download this podcast to your portable device. I know a lot of you will be getting a little portable device type thing for Christmas. Santa Claus has been talking to me and let me know. So you can check it out on iTunes. You can look up Speedway Digest Radio Network, and you'll find Thursday Night Thunder on there. You can also go to blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Digest Radio and check us out there, or the Speedway Digest Radio Network.com. All of those will give you access to the a full listing of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder past episodes. And I will, from time to time, you can get on the Blog Talk Radio page, blogtalkradio.com/Speedway Digest Radio, you can get a synopsis of future episodes as well. So I advise you to check that out. As I stated, we're currently standing by for our next guest, Mark Drennan. And if Mark Drennan doesn't call in, we've got one more guest on the line as well. Leah Pritchett from the NHRA Top Fuel Division will be our final guest of the year. We might also get to talk to Michael Mullally from Afraid of Washington at some point during the evening. We've got a little bit of time left this evening, so I haven't given up hope that you will be calling in. As I stated, you never know. Could be weather-related, could be a number of things. Next season, we have next year, kind of next season, I suppose, as well. We've got a lot of different plans going on for the program, for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder. We're going to try reaching out to a bunch of different NASCAR teams in the offseason, of course. I got their contact information during the Ford Championship weekend, and we'll see how many of those people want to come on the program and discuss a little bit of NASCAR with us. We've also reached out recently to the NHRA, who's been gracious enough to provide us with Leah Pritchett this evening. And in the past, of course, we've worked with Mazda Motorsports and Dean Case, as well as a little bit with Jade Gerst, who's been both of those men have been nice enough to provide us with a wide variety of guests from the Mazda Motorsports stable. And we appreciate that a lot and hope they have a pleasant holiday season, and we look forward to working with them next season as well. Once again, we've got a few more minutes until our next guest is on the line. So we're turning it into the Motorsports Radio Best of thing this evening. And we're going to listen to Angel in Flames, another song from Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew.
Giving you Hi, this is Ryan Rupka, driver of the number 14 Reynolds Racing Chassis Late. You're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Once again, you're listening to this Thursday Night Thunder with Adam Sinclair on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. This is our final show of the year, and we're reviewing some of the past year's events and looking forward to next season. Our final guest this evening is California native Leah Pritchett. Her passion for drag racing began at a very early age. She started driving junior dragsters at 8 years old, with 37 career wins and 8 years of competition. She knew that she wanted to become a professional drag racer and put her mind to it. As soon as she was old enough, Leah got behind the wheel of a full-size drag car and continued to light up the school board in the 190-mile-per-hour sportsman division. At just 18 years of age, she built a nostalgia nitro funny car with her father, Ron, and became the first woman to run 5 seconds in a nostalgia funny car. She also set the world record for the fastest nostalgia nitro funny car, being the first person to break 250 miles per hour. In 2010, Leah branched off from her family's racing operation and began driving for Steve Pluger, where she became the Hot Rod Heritage Series champion, winning multiple prestigious races and setting records. It wasn't long before Leah's success was noticed by professional funny car and pro mod team owner Roger Burgess. In 2011, Leah made the move to Atlanta and began driving pro modified cars for R2 V2 Racing, where she won 3 national events in just 2 short seasons. In 2013, Leah joined Doat Racing in the ranks of Top Fuel Dragster, ending up 15th in points overall after competing in only 12 national events, and was an NHRA Road to the Future nominee. Leah was the highest finishing Top Fuel driver during the 2014 season that did not compete in the full 24-race schedule. It is her unwavering goal to not only secure funds for her and Doat Racing to compete on a full schedule, but to be an NHRA Mellow Yellow Series champion. In 2015, she raced to her first final round appearance, and Atlanta was narrowly defeated by Antron Brown. She also raced to her career best elapsed time of 3.736 in Englishtown, New Jersey, and a career best speed in Norwalk, Virginia, at 324.67 miles per hour. In 2016, she raced for Bob Vandergriff Racing for the full season. This will be her first full year with the team and her first full season in the NASCAR in the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. We'd now like to welcome Leah Pritchett to the program.
Hi there. Welcome. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How's your evening going?
Not too bad. How's yours?
Great. Good. Good. Just got back from a solid workout and kind of hitting it hard in the off season right now. So I have to admit, I'm kind of living on cloud 9 right now with all the great things that are happening and circling around.
It sounds like you've got a lot of good stuff going with Bob Vandergriff Racing for next season, and it should be a pretty good year.
Absolutely. I'm beyond stoked for teaming up with Bob and his team and having a teammate, Dave Connolly, one of the best, just an outstanding true racer. Bob, he's a little marketing genius. He understands the business very well, so to be able to be kind of an apprentice underneath him from a business standpoint is great. And on top of the charts, he's driving for Mike Guger and Joe Barlam as my crew chief. Two wonderful people, but two completely great tuners. And they showed that this last season with their car that was on the track, finished fourth in the overall points. And it's cool. It's a dream come true, really. I mean, as you saw there and spoke about before, it's been a goal of mine for a really long time to race an entire full season on the Mellow Yellow Series, and next year it's going to happen. So I'm excited for myself, for the team, for all the fans that have been behind me throughout this entire big journey. Now it's just, it's go time. Let's see what we can do.
How would you define your season from this past year?
I would define my 2015 season as the most successful season I've had in my professional Top Fuel career. We were the most consistent and most successful non-full-time NHRA team. That's what I would consider. We competed at 16 of the 24 events on the series, and we had the highest rank. You know, we finished highest in the points out of any other part-time team. That bodes a lot to the hard work of what Doat Racing, the team owners, and all of the people involved did. Unfortunately, we were unable to keep that operation going for 2016 due to multiple factors, but mostly funding on different levels. And, you know, we decided that it'd be best if we parked the rigs for now and focused on, you know, the Doats are still trying to find funding for 2017, but they're focusing on their business. And that, you know, it closed the door, unfortunately, but it opened another one for Bob and I to work together and for me to become the second driver, you know, or the driver for that second dragster, which I do want to state it's very important for us, for the fans and everybody to know that the car that I'm driving in 2016 had a very, very, very high chance of not even being on the track next year because of funding, because of the downturn of the oil industry, which is one of our large partners of C&J Energy Services. And so that funding wasn't there. But between Bob and I putting together our connections that we have and working with Quaker State Oil, we were able to increase the funding and get me in that seat. So, you know, it breaks my heart when people say that I'm replacing Larry Dixon, because that he's a wonderful individual, awesome racer, three-time world champion. I mean, I can't compete against that. But at the end of the day, sometimes it comes down to dollars, and I was able to bring funding to keep these men employed, to keep this car on the racetrack, and that's how that all unfolded.
What's your favorite event of the NHRA schedule?
My favorite event? Well, let's see. I haven't raced at all of the tracks in a Nitro car yet, so that's going to be exciting. My favorite event has got to be, it's got to be Pomona, the first race so far that I've ever raced in a dragster. It's the first race of the season. All the buzz is there, all the hype, all the tension. You get to finally get back in the seat in competition after months of being off. I'd have to say, though, that the race that I'm most looking forward to is racing at Vandermeer, because I haven't been able to race there since I was, I think, 14 years old. And it's an incredible racetrack, so I'm looking forward to finally being able to run there.
How do you feel about the fact that the Pro Winter Warm-Up is not being held at Palm Beach International this year? It was being moved out to Phoenix. Do you think that's a good thing, or what's your opinion on that?
The fact that I'm a sun lover really puts a Debbie Downer on it. But it's here nor there for me, really. I do like the West Palm track and the personnel that put on that event. They've always done a great job. I've ran there for, 5 years or so. But with the move over to Phoenix, I think it makes a little bit more sense just from a travel standpoint. And, I'm impartial to it, really. We get to go testing. We get to go testing and not come back home. So that really means that what you're going to go there and test with, you better figure it out, because when you go to West Palm, you head down there, you figure stuff out, you come back home, you wrap the rigs, wrap the race car, you change a couple things, and then you head out to go race. Where this is different, you go out west, and you don't come back till after the Phoenix race 3.5 weeks later. So it's a little different dynamic from a logistical standpoint, but for me, just getting back in the race car is really what I'm focused on.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
10 years? Wow, goodness. That's quite a long way. Well, I know that I see myself in the next 5 years being right up there competing for an NHRA Top Fuel World Championship. And in 10 years, I see myself having an NHRA Top Fuel World Championship, if not one, if not two. And I know that's optimistic, because there are some really awesome racers out there that have been bridesmaids to it time and time and time and time again. But I'm going there to race. I have the opportunity to run all the races next year. My goal is to keep that, you know, streak going of being full time, and if I'm able to continue my success, you know, from there with Bob Vandergriff Racing and the team that I have, there's I don't go to the racetrack to lose. I go to the racetrack to win, and to win and win and win, then that's a championship. So in 10 years, you know, I don't know what the dynamic of team-wise will be. Maybe Bob Vandergrift Racing will be have 10 cars. Who knows? I mean, I know that the NHRA is on the up and the up with our new broadcasting program, with the changes that they're making internally, the new things that they're doing for the fans. So the series as a whole is growing like exponentially, which is awesome. And I know that I'm going to be able to grow with them. So beyond knowing that I'm going to be having a really, really good chance to win races and compete for a championship, it's not far off to say that someday, hopefully in those next 10 years, I'll be standing up on stage just like, you know, Erica Enders did and Antoine Brown and everyone else. And I raced with Erica when I was little. So to know that someone you did something with in the junior drag racing ranks, you know, pursued her dream and paved the way and worked her butt off just like I'm doing, I know that I can do it too.
Yeah. What, in your assessment, is the health of auto racing as a whole?
I'm sorry, that broke up.
What is your assessment of the health of auto racing as a whole?
That my assessment of all of auto racing as a whole?
Yeah.
The health of it. I think altogether it's diversifying itself more than it's ever done before. And the health of it, I think, is positive. For sure positive. You're seeing a lot more corporate interest. Yeah, you see some corporates, you know, not being involved as much as they were before, but you see new ones coming back in. The health, I think we're healthy, for sure. We want to be here bringing on new sponsors or sponsors that haven't been in the series or in the sport for 10 years or so if we were in bad health. And I think NHRA is in excellent health. I think F1 and Formula D and GRC and off-road, we're all growing. So I would say that we're in good health, and that's thanks in part to the people that stuck through that recession, the fans that stuck by our side, and now, you know, companies that really, the dollars that make us move forward are seeing that as well. So I think we're up on a good slope right now.
You talked a little bit about this a few minutes ago, but how do you feel about the new television package the NHRA is going to for 2016?
I'm genuinely excited for it. I do believe that ESPN did a wonderful job. I mean, the production of their show that they carried out was really nice. Given the times, I mean, people say it, I'll say it here, it really did stink being on at 2:30 in the morning. Fans and family, as much as they want to watch it, you know, they've got jobs to do. They got to get up at 6 and go to work at 7, and they're not going to be waiting and half the time, you know, you couldn't record it, something else was playing. So by far this is probably the biggest move that the NHRA has done in regards to fan entertainment and delivering the action in the way that they deserve to see it. So I'm beyond excited for it. I feel like it's a little bit new beginnings for everybody too, where you know, some people that maybe didn't get a lot of coverage before, or a side of them that was never seen before, will have the opportunity to be seen, because I know that it sounds like Fox Sports and Fox Sports One and the production that NHRA is putting behind it is really going to dig deep into, you know, the backgrounds and the home life and the drama and the things that you really didn't see before, as well as the hardcore racing that you see on the track. So this is, I would encourage fans and overall viewers to really look at the differences of what we see in the show. And I've got to say, I mean, we're not going to come out of the gate. You can't have expectations of out of the gate, the first live race, which is going to be Pomona in February, to be flawless. I mean, it's like putting together a brand new team. You can't expect perfection. But I say by the first quarter into the TV production and all of that, you're going to see a show like you've never seen before.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be pretty good.
I think so, too.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the program this evening. Hopefully next season we can have you on at the same time, and you'll be the new Top Fuel World Champion.
Well, thanks. I like to live dangerously and optimistically, but, hey, if you can't dream it, you can't achieve it. So I appreciate that, and thanks for having me on tonight.
Thank you, and have a happy holiday.
You too. Take care. Goodbye.
Thank you. Once again, that was Leah Pritchett from the from the NHRA, Bob Vandergriff Racing. She's looking forward to her first full season of competition, and we wish her all the luck in the world. We'd like to thank all our guests from this evening. Mark Iano, Jason Alder, and Leah Pritchett. And we'd also like to thank Mark Drennan, even though he didn't end up coming on the program this evening. I know there was some sort of issue there, and hopefully we'll be able to reschedule him for early next year. We'd also like to thank Michael Mullally for all the help she's given us this past year, and hope that she has a pleasant holiday season as well. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar, or simply going to Facebook.com/SD Thursday Night Thunder. I also invite you to read all the articles covering aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. As I stated, I've done a lot of articles in the past week. I think there's like 20 of them covering all aspects of motorsports, a lot of them on the racing season news. The 2016 season, I did a brief story about the Lamborghini Super Trofeo and the championship there. I did some other stories about the new drivers who are going to be on the Tequila Patron series, and that should be a good thing as well. So be sure to check out the SpeedwayDigest.com in the racing news section. There'll be updates from time to time there until early next year and beyond. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on January 7th in the Thunderdome. We will once again tackle the major issues in the world of auto racing. From all of us here at Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder and the rest of the Speedway Digest Racing family, we wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and a joyous holiday season.
Racing to the stripes, then the victory.